was hoping to do is just go over PowerPoint that I had already, and just type the slide on the end of that.
So we have to be this on?
Yeah, someone will be this. And then, Miro, I don't know if you, do you have any time to do anything with yours yet, addition?
No, because I recall that Tammy said a couple F-bombs ago that we're supposed to start with Bonneville.
Sorry, the toll-free number you have dialed is unassigned.
And then the dials, you know, work at one dam at a time.
Yeah, I remember saying that.
But I think we just have to emphasize what Scott was saying.
Welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign.
It's catastrophic for high volume.
I have the access code, but I don't know the host code.
And it has nothing to do with the oil recovery to protect the fisheries from oil getting in. There's lots of people are still getting...
Join the conference as the host.
Incident command.
So the recovery team, and we're supposed to be part of the recovery later as well.
Right, but incident command won't be set up.
Please enter your host password, followed by the pound sign.
In particular, if it happens on a weekend.
Whenever.
Because we don't have crews, we don't have anything.
Please enter the security code, followed by the pound sign.
Yeah.
You entered 4849586. To accept, press 1. Otherwise, there are 1 participants on the call, including you. You're joining your conference as the host. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
I think that means there's nobody there.
Does.
Is there anyone on the phone? Okay.
I mean, some of the steps at different dams, like, for example, at John Day, if we want to contain oil behind the dam during passage season, we'll have to shut down PSW because they skim. If that's this desired option, you know, to contain oil. If we want to pass oil, we can do the opposite. You know, so I guess depending on that, we have to kind of list a bunch of scenarios for different ideas.
I'm not even sure what, I mean, incident command, what they could decide to want to pass it or to hold it.
Right.
It could go either way.
Right.
I mean, I do remember the one meeting that we were at. They were pretty much focused on stop it at the dam. It's the best home you can get.
And actually having TSWs like a John Day could be helpful in protecting the fishways, because the fisheries are all to the side. Most oil will be skimmed in the middle.
But you gotta close the fisheries, luckily, otherwise.
Right. No, I understand that. That's also. But I mean, just even before that, if we keep TSW open, it will skim lots of oil, and it might, to some extent, protect fisheries. They still need to be shut down, I think.
And do you run your?
But it might
screens?
Be a little bit easier to accomplish.
Do you run your screens and have your gate wells open, or do you shut your orifices and keep it out of the rest of the fish system?
And you know, the current methods of closing fishways is that we have bulkheads, which have to be operated by a crane. Yeah. Well, if we want to truly protect fishways, we need to have an automated system, which the bulkhead will be just hanging there. It can be dragged by the operators instead of crane operators.
Trevor and Peter coming back too.
Right. You know, that's definitely doable, but it will cost money if someone decides that that's important to protect. Because other than that, we
otherwise,
won't be able to protect
our
weekend.
We're having an ineffective meeting.
No, there is no work.
Not that we're not
these guys
all.
Right.
Before you get someone.
Oh, I do. I'm staying.
It will be too late.
I will learn, but
oil could be already
the acceptance of what's going on is what I'm. The only thing I glean from them, whether it's you got to do more and differently or whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But you guys have it. We'll have a template, a pretty nice template here, so.
Hopefully.
Yeah. we've had more, luckily, we've had more experience having to deal with it so far. Hopefully,
yeah, we've dealt
hopefully we don't have to get that experience, but I don't know how to make this work. Is it on standby?
On standby.
Yeah, we didn't do anything since it probably just before.
He's stuck on standby.
Oh, here it is.
There we go.
Yeah, it was invisible. Look at that. That color needed to pop out at you as a.
Gary, Tom, Lisa, Ben, who else did we talk
about? Yep. And Trevor.
It sounded like Gary wasn't going to come back.
He picked up his stuff when he left. Came back in and got his.
Oh.
But that Trevor was going to be here.
Oh, okay.
His notes
were yeah, his stuff was there. So.
Yeah, so he and Tom must be both still at lunch
Tom's
somewhere.
Too far.
It's only 30 minutes.
We'll hope they had a liquid lunch.
Yeah.
Then they'll be really easy to coalesce
yeah.
into where we're headed.
Yeah. Looks good. Approved.
All right. Do we want to perform auto HV keystone correction?
No.
I don't know where the N is on here. I'll just hit screen.
Cancel.
I don't know if we have a cancel. We have an escape button.
That's
Vera is so shocked that yours ironically came out just like Bob's.
We're not really focused.
I always go
to the right. I mean, here you guys are two separate projects in two separate rooms, and it like came out so similar.
I know the irony is just incredible.
How many years did you guys do both of them? So Miro, I was hoping to go through all three lower projects. I don't know if Ben will get we'll call in or not.
Yes.
I'm here.
Oh, you are? Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
All right, we're just waiting for other folks to show up.
Okay.
Did you get the
hopefully
email?
Not too long.
Me?
Yeah.
Did you get Scott's email?
I did.
Okay, good.
It went through good.
He's just wondering if others did too, so yeah. If you did, then they probably did.
Yeah.
So Ben, have you had a chance to do anything different with your presentation, or should we just cover mine and then use that as a template for Bonneville and John Day?
Yeah, we didn't do anything different. We really only did the presentation, which is in air quotes because it isn't much of one.
Okay.
Because our original was just like your last slide, which was all. Here's what we're going to do, actual steps with individual valves and fishways and bulkheads and whatever.
Right, and that was just like the step-by-step
bullets,
right?
Is that
bullets,
on the F-bomb
right?
site? Is your presentation on the F-bomb
site? It is, yeah.
So Ida just kind of threw that PowerPoint thing together at the last minute because we didn't want to be the only one without a presentation, you know? And outclassed and all.
That would look bad.
Is it out under this week's agenda or is it out under the hazmat stuff? So I look.
There is one. There's like an oil section. Is it oil or?
It's under August.
It is under August.
Yes.
August
2016.
Okay.
There is
another hazmat site out there, but if you looked a week ago, there wasn't anything much out there that was new. So it's all under August. Anything for this
if
meeting?
I can get my screen back.
There's somewhere on the site that has, so it has the three lower dams. When we put out just a bullet form, these are options that we could do. for closures or whatever, but we never talked about any of them. And that sat there for about a year.
Okay.
And then we came back with the PowerPoint.
Okay.
And then John Dane Bonneville also put a PowerPoint in.
Okay.
And then we took that a step further, and because the PowerPoint didn't have the, like, what we would do for closures or anything like that, or a response to a spill. So then we added, I added a slide on the Dells one for that.
Yeah, so Ann, it's definitely under the August FPOM file on the bottom here. And Tammy will have to make another.
Oh, PowerPoints. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the spill plans, I think I printed those, and I don't know if I just didn't know for what, but that's great. Thank you.
So there wasn't another, like, separate section where.
Yeah, oh. There is somewhere.
So Bob pointed out that under these task groups that it was not there. So Tammy's going to have to
someplace
make.
Someplace there's a hazmat that you can find, though. I don't know.
No,
I did find someplace somewhere else where there was hazmat, but there wasn't anything, and I wonder where I did.
Do you have a link on your email?
The email address.
Is there an other miscellaneous?
I didn't send a link. No.
Yeah, so that's how I got to it, I think, because I just looked.
Okay.
But I think we should start by stating the purpose, that the purpose of what we're trying to achieve is to protect fish passage and passageways. And then we divide it into juvenile at some dams, which we have juvenile facility and adult facilities, which should be treated separately. And in fact, the highest level of attention should be given to adult facilities because of the smell sense in fish being strong. So if we allow oil to go inside adult fishways, they could be unusable for a long time. And there's no way of cleaning them up during passage season.
But that's something that we really don't have a good handle on. How much can they tolerate?
How much what?
How much can they tolerate? If you have a real light sheen going into the ladder, is that enough to shut it down?
It could be. I think that's what we need to discuss and get the consensus. But I think it should be almost zero. Well,
because we've dug into some research on that very thing
and
found that adults are pretty tolerant.
Isn't there homing masking that occurs though?
Of oil or smells in general? Are you talking smell in general of substances or oil?
Hydrocarbons.
Hydrocarbons, which is
oil. Yeah.
Well,
there's
been
the questions from our group might be
so then we
ask SRWG to see if we want to fund research or
yeah,
someone to look into what's up there.
But I mean, how much exactly? So still, for all practical purposes, instead of being, you know, having an academic discussion about levels, we should still try to do best, because if we have large amounts, if it's really going to be coming into the fishery, that is what
yeah.
I'm talking about. Small amounts, you have a discretion not to activate the system.
It's a
you
tough
know,
call.
Type
yeah.
of, it's a judgment call, too.
Because there are things we can do to stop sheens from going in or try to stop sheens from going in without having to totally shut down ladders.
Well,
you know, and that should be the first
that
step
depends.
That we could do. But when, you know, when incident command is saying that, well, we want everything shut down, we want the ladder shut down in the middle of a sockeye run or something, that could be a total freaking disaster with
yeah.
thousands of fish lost.
I understand.
And if you're just getting a really light
but
sheen
see,
in there.
But I think, as we were talking earlier, with
Well, how long would everything
Scott.
Be shut down is the other issue, because at the last meeting
but,
when you brought this up,
yeah.
2 to 3 days, Noah was like, get it cleaned up and take the 2 to 3
you,
days.
And get
you know,
it back.
Yeah, and get it back as a clean fishway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if 2 to 3 days is realistic,
yeah.
depending on the severity of the
yeah.
spill.
I have one comment. You keep referring to the incident command. I think we should first be talking about what happens even before the incident command forms. Because this is what the critical window for our purposes to
right.
if we want to shut down, it's not what the incident command will want or not.
So that's really what we're focusing on, is from the time of the spill to the time that incident command is formed,
right.
which could be
critical, which could be critical in protecting.
What would we do?
Right.
Okay. All right.
And Ed, well, go ahead.
So we're done.
Sorry we're late, it's my fault.
Decisions are made. Sorry, you guys.
No, they came back smiling, so we might let them make some decisions.
Oh, nice.
No, they're good. They're good.
All right.
So what point do you ask? Other than, holy crap, you can't write a plan for a spill?
That's where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I did after the last presentation that I did, I added a slide to the PowerPoint, just basically trying to show what our response, what potential responses it could be if we have oil sitting out in Fort Bay. So, Aaron, if you could go to the last slide on the PowerPoint. You guys have seen all this other stuff already.
Oh, yeah, you have the purpose. Yeah, good. I didn't see that.
There. So this was just a first attempt to just figure out what would we do with each area. And so for us, kind of a no-brainer, the East Ladder, 159 Weir, that's one button. You can go up and do that in minutes and close 159 Weir. That would be, so we'd basically put the ladder at orifice flow.
Okay. So that just takes it down to AWS flow.
You still got AWS.
It's the telescoping weir. So it comes down and basically just shuts off the overflow weir part. And then you're a complete orifice from there on in.
Yeah. And you're going to have some leakage around the sides.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the problem is, from the Tesoro case, we're learning that a lot of this oil, the pan oil,
locking.
It's going to come through.
Yeah.
I mean, and the more we talk with some of the oil expert we had, he's going, it comes down to, do you want to get oil on the ladder, or do you want to leave it open for adults? He says, there's nothing, if you let water through the ladder, you're going to need oil in your ladder. So it just becomes a trade-off.
So even if you're pulling from 60 feet deep?
60 feet deep, it depends on how long the oil sits there, and depends on the kind of oil. Mm-hmm. But it's just, with the wind action and dispersion and stuff, he says, you're going to get oil in your ladder.
Most of the stuff we're dealing with now is super surface, the Bakken.
The heavier stuff.
Evaporates real fast. Yeah. Super light. In fact, they hardly recover any of it in recovery efforts because it evaporates so fast.
Yeah.
Mm. Burns off.
This is the stuff that was in Mosier.
Yeah.
That's why
it burns so well because it's highly volatile.
And the thing is, we don't want to get too myopic and only think of oil spills because you got a ton of other things in cars.
Yeah.
So you have a fertilizer spill.
But the most obvious is the 2 mile long identical car after car after car that's bogging fuel. So there's just giant volumes of that.
But the other end of the spectrum is like the tar sands oil that they're talking about being able to ship. And at the conference that I was at, all those guys said, there's not a damn thing you can do that.
And it's going to the bottom.
It'll go to the bottom one day, it'll pop up the next day, and it'll go back down the next day, and you just can't recover it. It's just all over the place.
Yeah.
So I think from a containment side or a diversion side or trying to keep it out of certain areas, Bakken might be the best of all evils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
So your plan is kind of
but
regulated around that idea that you're going up against something.
Well, he's saying this is his option. It's like, with one button, depending on what you want me to do, I could go to complete orifice flow for a ladder and maybe keep a ladder working.
Yeah.
But this whole, the three plans I read were set up as if this stuff was floating on the surface.
That's what we're counting on.
Because otherwise you're...
Otherwise we don't know what we'll do with the other stuff.
There's not a complete list of what kind of things could be spilled at this point, right?
And that's one thing I need to clarify too going into this. This is not we're not committing to do anything on this for sure because we don't know. I mean, we haven't had the experience with it. We don't know how the hell to deal with it. And these are just some ideas on how we might deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But once it happens,
Well, could you imagine? I mean, this thing's like, hey, we can shut off the top slow, but by the way, there's 100,000 shad trying to pass and are now stacked up in the ladder.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, we have all these other fish coming through. What do you do?
Yeah.
And you're crying, basically.
Additionally, it needs to be recognized that some solutions could be expensive. Who is supposed to pay for this? Where is the money going to come
from? If it's a spill and it's on the train.
But I mean before, because this is spill prevention.
They'll compensate you for it.
Let's say
well,
you're putting booms. No, I mean now,
if you want to put
in anticipation. It might not happen for years.
Yeah.
Do we deploy booms, for example, the diversion booms or whatnot? Or,
maybe you could get a grant.
Or if we decide, that, for example, that's still pending, if we decide that the exits need to be closed, the fishery need to be completely closed, well, right now, on weekends, we cannot accomplish that quickly because we have very slow process, which each bulkhead has to be deployed by a crane operator and structural crew. So if we want a quick response for to prevent oil from coming into the fishery, we have to get automated system. That's what I kind of meant.
So you have no way on emergency to get a crane operator on a weekend?
Not quickly.
We can, but it takes time.
It will take a couple of hours. People will at least.
Well, a couple hours. I mean, you're going to have at least
maybe
some
a couple hours.
It just depends on how close.
Well, it depends on where the oil spill is. I mean, you might have a couple hours. You might
right there. You're
you might be like, oh, by the way, the train spill, it's already through the water.
But in all probabilities, are probably have.
Okay, so the option of having that automated system is unnecessary because it would be expensive.
Yeah, and if you look at just the corner collector was $2.2 million.
Don't forget that gate is way bigger than anything you're going to see.
But you're in the, it's not super cheap.
Oh, no, it's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Well, the thing is, and then it's also going to be a project specific, like maybe a bond where we have a bunch of ladders. Maybe you set up the automation at a couple, so if you have
cranes,
to sacrifice, at the Dalles, you got two, you maybe only need to do the east ladder because the north ladder doesn't pass as much. But it's like, that's
the
problem.
The question is, do you have a crane on both sides because you can't drive across the building
anymore,
exactly.
So you got to go around Bridge of the Goddess to get your crane.
Mm.
But we need to recognize that oil spill or train derailment will interfere with fish passage plan.
Oh yeah.
Well, we
support any efforts you guys.
But that's why we need to have a paragraph
to shut down the ladder and keep the initial run going.
As soon as you have a spill, you're in emergency operations at that point, and then the FPP kind of goes. I don't want to say goes out the window completely, but
pretty much.
You delay
fish for 2 days, 3 days, whatever.
All it takes
whatever.
Is a sentence in there too to say refer to this plan. Bam.
That's what we were kind of looking for from a priority, because that was mentioned by Gary the last time, and we were talking about that before you came in. So
I think if you delay fish, I mean the balance between having fish go through an oily ladder and delaying them for 2 days, I'd rather delay fish for 2 days and have them go through an oily ladder and have to do the response to that.
Yeah.
Well, what if it's a decision between shutting the ladder completely or tainting it with oil?
I think you shut it completely initially, and then we discuss
kill fish.
It. You delay the fish.
No, you kill the ones.
We kill fish that are in the ladder.
Yeah, I mean
pretty much.
It also depends on the time of year.
Yeah.
Like if you find out you're at the peak of the sockeye run, it's bloody ass hot.
Yeah. They're dead anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the oil just makes them better.
Readier for the barbecue.
Yeah, because I mean that's the thing is like.
Right.
And that's where we're going to have to make some, that's going to be some bloody hard decisions people are going to have to make, and it's not going to be.
I mean, in terms of the numbers of fish, it's going to be horrible, but in terms of the population, you can still maintain a population with, you know, 2 or 3 days of fish passage completely eliminated.
Right.
But if you put a bunch of oil in there, you could potentially ruin the entire year.
Yeah. Well, on that, we don't know for sure either.
We don't know.
Because we were just talking about that before you guys came in and how. There has been some research has been done where they adult salmon handle oil pretty well. They just charge through it. You know, they don't necessarily stop.
No, as long as
that's
not,
our assumption.
Well, as
long
as they don't stop in it, they're fine. As long as they get out of it, but I don't know if we've had any experience with like you have a whole ladder with a bunch of oil in it and a fish swimming through it. What's their survival rate?
Well, but if that's the case, then we don't have to do anything. We just
yes, that's how we should handle it.
Oil,
yes.
You know. But no.
I don't know if I want to go that. I don't know if I want to go quite that.
We should consider assuming that there's masking going to take place on homing because we know there's studies that have shown that when they've had oil exposure, that we've had higher stray rates because it's been masked. So if our whole ladder is oiled up, then they're losing cues for that whole area.
My point being is that
but those are things we'll never answer this.
But so my point was just that you've shut it off for at least a day or two, and then we can make decisions after that.
Yeah.
But that allows us some time to sit there and dig into it.
So what we need the master plan is that the project bio has the ability to shut the ladder off at his discretion.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think, but
give him a link, because otherwise, if he has to go on the call and he has to get somebody there, you're burning hours trying to get a thumbs up.
No, and I think that's probably, that might be, because I mean, the overall thing in this plan is every situation is going to be so unique, you can't write a plan for it.
Well,
right.
You could list scenarios, potential scenarios could be helpful.
The problem is I could list 100 scenarios. It's high temperature, you're at Bonneville, leave one ladder open, close everything else off, so you kind of let the fish charge through, so you give those chicks a chance, you delay the rest. That makes sense. At somewhere like the Dalles, that may not be your best strategy because you don't want to leave the east ladder open because that's the only ladder you got. And if you have an oiled up ladder, you're kind of screwed. So each dam is going to be uniquely specific.
Each run,
time of year, type of spill. Right. There is going to be so many variables.
So we're supposed to have the plan per dam.
Good luck trying to do that. I think your number one phase is if you have a spill,
we could develop.
I think the project bio is going to have to be your first line of defense. And he's going to have to, it's going to be a lot of weight on his shoulders. And he's got to make a call pretty quick saying, looking at what I've got, information I've got at this time, I'm making this call. And we get out an emergency response team as quickly after that as possible to get the region together and say, what's our next step? And that's the one thing we got to figure out from incident command, is that going to be, because if an incident command commander comes in like we did at Mosier, they were asking people to do stuff. I don't know.
Oh, they're heavy-handed.
They're so heavy-handed.
Once they're there, yes, but they're not there for such a long time.
Well, that's the thing. There's going to be some sort of, there needs to be some sort of, because incident commanders, they have no idea about biology or fish.
But they're going to take information from people. That's where it would be nice to have this stuff laid out, that they can say, hey, just read this. This is our plan.
Because they're going to have agencies like you at the table when they make decisions a lot of times.
I wanted to return to the
where they're going to be at,
discussion.
Asking.
We were talking about if oil contamination and what level is harmful in the fishery. I think for all practical purposes, we should strive to prevent any oil going in. That is going to be obviously impossible in practical aspects. So some will go in, but at least we'll minimize the amount of it or amount of contamination. Do we agree on that? At least we should make an attempt. I mean, we should go in a kind of logical sequence of what we are trying to do. Because you, Bob, you said there is no research, so why we should worry about oil contamination in the fisheries? I mean, it's more of a preventive. I'm not arguing with
the
point.
But the reason I bring that up is because when the judgment call comes, the bio is going to be standing on the deck, and if there's a real light, if you have all the oil contained out in the forebay, okay, we're good. There's a real light sheen going in.
I'm talking about some amounts of coming down from the forebay. I'm talking a different scenario. It's like a train derailment where there is copious amount of oil coming. I'm not talking about sheens. This is coming. This is still incoming.
Well, see, that's what we have to identify.
That's an important point.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to wait until it's already at the dam, and then you're going to make a call. If it's a mile away and you know it's going to get in here in an hour, you're already making a call based on that, on the situation or information you have.
Something that's come to my mind that may be really useful to you guys is to develop a curve that says how fast, from point X, how long is it going to take to get here? With the
with
100,000, 100,000, 300,000.
With oil and flow.
Yeah.
Correct. That you have a table that already shows that if it happens in Mosier, I have...
Water travel transit.
Right. We break it down just so they have a quick ballpark. Do I have 2 hours?
Exactly.
10 hours?
Exactly.
And then react that way. And so that alone might be a really valuable tool for you guys just to know.
We'll just have a reference.
It's something to hand the unified commander, hey, this is the WTT time,
and then,
here is how much time you have.
Example of John Day, we have TSWs in the middle of the dam, which are very effective skimmers. And do we want them operating and skim the oil and pass it on to the Dalles and be diluted, or we want to stop the oil behind the dam as much as possible? Because we know we cannot stop the dam operation completely. Yeah. We cannot stop the
water. So how long can you stop the dam? That's one thing I was curious about. I mean, can you shut everything down for an hour?
What's the flow in the river?
It depends on the flow. It depends on how
which pool you're
what
in.
Level you're at.
It depends on where you're in.
Dalles is way bigger than the Dalles.
They take a crane operator.
You're a little lower, you have a little more time.
They're not automatic. Like, you cannot just push a button and shut them down.
But that's something that's going to have to be considered when that happens. I mean,
yeah.
There's a chance you could shut it for a while. I mean, just when we were talking earlier about the AWS 13 pager that's out there, it says if we're going to spill, give them a 1 to 3 hour notice. If you get a load reject, the four bay is already shut off. Say you're 300,000 river, 300,000 filling into a pond that holds 14,000.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you're going, and then when you stop energy, the water's moving, and so as soon as you stop it, it goes because it doesn't stop. It just keeps running into it. It's like, you know, a crowd that's just moving. Mm-hmm. So there, if their hope is that, you know, the four bay doesn't move much or something happens, then they're going to get an amazing wave.
Yeah.
So water, just the sheer number, and then what you stop energy, it starts going sloshing back and forth or crawling up this front of the dam.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff you have to worry about that way. If you just shut it off, then you're gonna, the Mosier one, they were really concerned about the, once they set the elevation, there's a pore pressure that was holding oil back. And that's something we didn't think about when we were doing the test, is the level of the reservoir may be important for not letting water, oil get into there. If you drafted it down, water was gonna drain through it and have the pressure pushing back on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a sort of an aha moment on the Mosier one. In the cleanup.
Another concern would be to determine if the dam will have to operate one way or another. We have different routes of passage for water. Spill during passage season, we have powerhouse, we have JBSs at some dams. What's the one we should be emphasizing, which should be the least harmful way of that the water would be flowing and maybe containing some oil, but not much? A wild idea, for example, maybe JBS, like a John Day, you want it to be operating, and then you do the skimming at the, if we have SMF hooked up, at the PDS, and put the absorbent, because you're going to skim all the oil, and it's going to flow down that JBS channel. And it's not going to harm the juveniles as much, because they're not, it's not going to affect their passage, you know, because they're not migrating by smell as much as salmon. That could be...
Because you're forced, they have to go there. You're stucking them in there, so they don't have a choice to get there. That's what your point is.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to be an adult return.
Right.
There's a lower percentage.
And with time, it's going to get cleaned by the flow of water, and there's not going to be no residual effect for a long time.
Well, I wouldn't say there's no effect. I mean, you probably kill a few of them.
Temporary. But
your probability is lower because you have less fish in the JBS and you have to lose. I mean, that's what I was wondering too, is do you shut your orifices off?
Right.
Do you pull your screens and shut your orifices off?
I mean, first, to shut your orifices, you won't have time to pull the screens because it takes days.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that very quickly. It takes time to pull off the screens.
But say you have a day before the oil is going to arrive.
Sure.
Say you're up in McNary or John Day, and you have a whole bunch of time.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to pull your screens out so you don't foul them.
Sure.
It takes about three days to pull your screens, all screens out.
Right. So a lot of these ideas, we need to somehow get them all documented in one spot.
Well, and the problem is,
and this is what I'm thinking of doing. So
are there any absolutes that fish managers will say absolutely don't do that?
That's
I don't know if we're going to be able to lay out a plan for all the facilities and all the scenarios.
I think we're looking for absolute, not don't, but do it.
So you're thinking like
such as things, like I pointed out at the beginning, the 159 weir.
You're saying like an overhead slide of each project.
Yeah.
And list what you can do.
Yeah. Without having to make phone calls, ask for permission to put the orifice flow, just go
do
it.
This is like our short term, like an hour or two that we could get done in an hour or two.
That would be helpful. Do we have a map, though, that shows all routes of passage at a dam for water? All the opening, all the orifices, you know. So that if you're trying to tally up, well, where's water going through a dam, you don't want to be the day of going, there's this over there or that over there, and then how do you shut them off? So a map of what are all your things, how much water goes through them, and then how do you turn them off might be helpful.
Or can you turn
Yeah, but can you turn them off?
And that's what I was kind of trying to capture here. Yeah. There might be some things missing, like, maybe some orifices that we haven't blocked yet.
So where they are, like how long it takes.
Yeah.
Like the holes, your orifices and your sluiceway, mm-hmm. are those closed when you shut the gates?
Well, most of them are blocked permanently now.
Right, but if they weren't, is that a route of water through?
It could be if the oil went down through the intake.
Yeah.
But it'd have to drop, at least 25 feet to get the top of the intake.
Right, but those are the kind of things I was trying to identify as sort of things you just really don't see, but they are actually moving water through.
Right.
So if you're starting to get a sheen, it's because you didn't finish blocking a couple of the holes.
Right.
So what I'm not sure that orifices are that tight that even if, you'd be saving the screens only, I'm not sure you could keep oil out of the collection system.
Well, we're just thinking large.
You just have to monitor downstream and see what,
depends on their condition, right?
How about, we've got that, like, makeup water that comes from the forebay as well that goes into juvenile collection systems. I'm not sure that we would have an effective way there. And then just...
We do have valves.
We have valves, yeah.
But that's the map I'm trying to say we should develop, is all those different odds and ends routes that water actually does pass, that we don't, it's obvious the sluiceway's on, obvious the spillway's on.
Emphasizing the ones which are closest to the surface, the deep ones maybe.
You list it by elevation. So if you turn on, you have a Bakken fuels on the top, then you're concerned about it. If you have the tar sands, it's on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Then you change your by elevation. When you hand a person the, here's all my routes and here's their elevations and here's how much water goes through each one of them, then they can maybe start making some calculations. Well, I only have two operators for cranes and it's going to take, I can get 90% of the water if I do these four things.
Right.
Yep.
It could be frantic.
I actually like the sound of that.
It's a tool.
That makes good common sense for somebody that's in an emergency.
Right. They can adapt it to them once they understand, know all the parts they're trying to get done.
Yep. That would be something for unified command, you're saying?
Yeah, you'd hand unified command, you'd hand them, where's your spill, here's the travel time, we're at 300 in the river, it'll be here in 4 hours. And it floats on the surface, here's all of our surface things above this elevation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that should be easy enough to do, put that stuff together.
And again, they're turning to...
That's post-unified command. We still need to figure out.
Well, there's that, but you've got to know yourself where all your routes are, so that you can lay out a strategy what you want to do. Mm-hmm. They can both use it, but then you can hand it to them and say, I've already closed all these.
Yeah.
I've made my decision. Here's why I'm doing it. Here you go.
Take what about a large boom system that directs things from the surface to a specific location?
Well, we're planning on doing that right now. Like for the East Fishway, we purchased a boom that'll go out permanently in front of the exit. Haven't been able to install that yet. Yeah, that's that little square.
Well, so for the Mosier spill, there was the equipment somewhere. They were able to get that stuff pretty quick and get it out there. So there's facilities all over that have that equipment.
But you have to have mooring points for it and things that you can set it on.
We have boom that we can deploy as well on site. Actually, at the exits, we have boxes of that.
Just
stuff,
the Dow,
just
the Bonneville, and John.
Well, Bonneville's already, from my understanding, is already set up with a lot of the permanent boom in place right now.
We got boom in front of all the fish valves.
Where we're supposed to determine if John Day should get those deflecting booms as well. More extensive, we have some, we call them log booms, they just protect the exit itself and debris.
So,
but if we decide it's important, we can put longer stretches of deflection booms.
So as far as, like for this one, the ultimate plan I was thinking was to have the permanent boom out in place and then be able to deploy absorbent immediately behind the permanent once a spill happens.
Right.
Maybe even throw a second set of boom that we already have on the deck up there. And then if we still have oil getting in, and we could close 159 just as a fail safe.
Yeah.
Just ahead of time. Close that and then monitor from there.
It just depends on how close the oil is, where you close that. If it was a long ways away, there'd be no point yet.
And which side of the river it's coming? Could be coming only on heavy on one side.
Yeah.
So in terms of the FPP, I think we would be comfortable with the project making a decision. If there was a large oil spill, you could completely violate spill turbine priority.
Right.
ladder priority, anything, if it's a large spill, if it's, you know, John Day dumped a barrel of oil.
No, no, we're talking to catastrophic oil during the train.
Yeah.
You have those.
And, we'll probably, and they're probably going to give you like 48, 72 hours to kind of figure things out. And then there's going to be some asking for some coordination. And let's think long term what our next steps are going to be.
Okay, so we'll need a something in the FPP to state that we can do that.
Yeah.
And if it's right. quote large, we'll need to know what is large.
That would be helpful because the operators are always fearful and they go by the documentation. Yeah. In knowing what
I would hate for him to pass a bunch of oil just because it was in the IPP.
Right, it would be confusing.
Don't we already have some language for an emergency that we will take action and then report? And would this fall under that? Or what constitutes an emergency, though, is kind of...
People are exceptionally gun-shy if it's not really spelled out in FPP. They'll start making calls. They'll call the TMT meeting. We'll talk to you in a couple hours. I mean, they're really gun-shy. You guys... and the operators seem to be.
Yeah.
So if it explicitly says during do a large spill, you have the ability to change your unit priority, shut your spill off, shut off the letters.
Yeah.
You just say these are the large things we've contemplated, and we know you might have to do them.
Yeah.
Do them.
Yeah, isn't that really all we're trying to get to here? Because we're going to talk about it, no doubt about it, if it happens.
Yeah. Right.
There won't be.
The thing is though, like, I think the biggest concern we have after a major spill is as soon as the incident commander comes in. Unless there's some plans in place that you can refer to him or give him some stuff, he's just going to be shooting from the hip.
Yeah.
So any information or plans that we can have ahead of time, say, hey, we thought about this, these are things you need to consider, or that kind of stuff, the more information we can have ahead of time to him is going to make everyone's life hopefully better. Because he could easily come and say some crazy things like, hey, we need to shut everything down, that's done. It's like, wait, we really can't do that. So
now
they don't have a prescription.
No.
That they come with.
Oh, right? God, an incident commander comes in and they just basically, they're just taking charge.
They're the ones that
make the call one or the other. And
yeah. They get as much information as they can and make a decision.
I'm consulting on a buy-up right now for the oil spill response plan in the Northwest, the entire Northwest, so all the way to Washington down to Oregon, and it basically says that they have any option, including dispersants or removal or whatever. Including lighting the river on fire, that's in their action. What we're consulting on.
With
action.
The ultimate goal of removing it from wherever it is.
They could disperse it. They could disperse it.
They could throw like have airplanes.
Disperse it meaning that they put a chemical on it that disperses it into the river and it just dissolves away.
Yeah.
And the effects that are associated with
so
that.
The chemical makeup has changed.
Chemicals, the oils may be different, but they also have the dispersant chemicals on top of that. So it's like,
becomes a pile of greatness.
Well, and that's the reason why the more information we have on these kind of plans, the more information
guides them into not doing something that's totally stupid. Because lighting the river on fire in the middle of sockeye run might not be the best.
Maybe it's sort of bad idea.
Maybe do that with the ladder. Just light the ladder on fire.
You're lucky enough with the right tools, you have three channels. You can actually decide to put oil on. On one of the channels and then shut it off and just pull it up in there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you, for a certain amount of time, run flow through there, you're going to capture a lot of it. You don't shut the other ones off. So you have some options like that, but if you don't think about them and set up ahead of time, they're useless.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is there's so many, like Tom said, there's so many scenarios. That
there are, and that's why I was going back to the travel time and the just what a dam has on it.
Yeah.
Well, I think Bob's got the great idea, too. It's like, these are stuff that we can do within a couple hours.
Yeah.
This is the minus 24-hour operational changes we can make.
Mm-hmm. And then we can make decisions after that.
Yeah.
And what equipment is required, also.
Right. So would everybody like to see something like this for all three dams then? Just a
maybe with the time, too, that it takes to do? Like, how long does it take to close the one?
Does it need a crane, yes or no?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we can do that.
How many employees does it take, weekend versus weekend,
Yeah. Is it something that can be done 7 days a week, or is this something that can be done, 4 days out of the week, or it's going to take an extra 24 hours to get this done? Mm-hmm. Some along those lines.
But you just keep building your level of knowledge on those points once you know how does water get by a dam, and how do you attack each one of them.
Then it would be good to have something like, if the oil spill is within say some number of miles from the dam, 5 miles from the dam, do this right away. Mm-hmm. Close Barrier 159, you know, do this, close this, you know, or whatever that you think you need to
do. You start to discourage.
So that if they're panicking, they're going, what do I do? Oh my God. They look at this and they go, okay, I'm just going to do this. You know.
But if you have time, could you slow your passage down or inhibit them from getting in there but not kill them right away?
Right.
You know, maybe make it so they want to go back out the bottom. You start shutting down the top valves or something.
Try to shut them down.
You have enough time to maybe.
Maybe they shut everything down, they begin salvage right away.
Or you get a orbit.
So then we go to fish behavior instead of taking care of the spill issues.
Well, you do that to minimize your impacts, what's in the ladder. If you have 10,
but building on to what you're trying to do, it's just it's a different layer. So,
well, if you know you've got time, you can go to orifice, you can go to orifice flow. If you know you got a little time, you can go to orifice flow.
Right, you can still recover some.
Get a bunch of the fish out, as many of the fish out as you can, give them a chance, and then just shut it down.
Yeah, I mean, your peak day, you'll have 70,000 in the ladder upon them. I mean, that's the range of what you can.
Yeah, that's a worst case scenario for sure.
No, it is. It's the September, first week of September.
But we have a lot of those fish to lose, too.
Yeah, fall chinook, I'm not worried. I'm more about like a sockeye run. Like, that's when you have like 30,000 sockeye in a ladder. It's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a little too direct.
Yeah, I mean, you got a bunch of hand for chinook in there.
So you think for today, if we walk away with the travel time map, potential, see if you guys have the ability to do that. Decide at each dam where water can pass and how long it takes to close them, or if you can even close them, and you're bringing up some that may not be ways to close things.
Just asking, wondering.
Yeah, and so then come back with that map and we'll shoot it over, and then once you have that, you can start layering on.
And also, and possibly looking at some modified language you put in the FPD to give you guys some coverage, or at least direct, hey, if there's a spill coming, project value, you've got X amount of time to do something. You do not need to get clearance.
It might be useful since you're separately doing something with dispersants, if there's anything that you're aware of that, from a fish standpoint too, that they would do differently. So either the weigh-in of whether there's no effect from the chemical.
That's what we're trying to consider. We haven't really, they haven't given us a full action yet, but initially the one that they gave us and we kind of commented on, what do you think of this? And it was sort of, do everything in time, we were kind of like, that's not so good. So we want to limit the things that they do in freshwater a little bit more, where there's ESA fish, than what they can do in the ocean. Mm-hmm. We're just sort of getting our feet wet into that. But this plan, I think, is going to be helpful, tying this plan into that consultation.
Good.
Some limitations, I think, on what they can do. Because once we consult on it, you know, I think that this unified command guy that comes in is going to have some more of a limitation on what he can just go in and burn up or torch out.
Right. He's going to need every little bit of information he can get.
I just thought of the district to respond in example of Jandai. Let's say oil spill happens in the Jandai pool. Well, this is among the three lower dams. The Jandai has a little bit of a storage capability to slow down. You can slow down the river at that point.
Can't slow it down much more at Jandai.
Well, there is a little bit due to the size of the river.
It depends on the time of year.
You could minimize the flow, but that would not be us. That would be obviously someone else.
That's
change
important.
Flow.
That's if you're operating at what's our operating pool, and then how much higher can you go?
Yeah,
I don't know. So we're at minimum op, and to go up to max pool, you might be able to have a couple days there in terms of the snake tributary feeding in.
Well, it depends on the time of year. That's why there's so many scenarios. Like in the summer, you have a little more flexibility with pull uppers. Spring freshet, you don't need a lot.
Not so much.
Yeah, God, you could manage flows all the way up to Grand Coulee. Grand Coulee and the Snake River, you could back everything up, and during certain times of year.
Just tell Grand Coulee to shut off. Okay, you'll spill it.
With what? Sort of above our level on that, but.
So am I interpreting right, if in that initial really short term, we've pretty much got discretion to do most anything we need to do?
Well, other than have the biggest fish barbecue you've ever had in your life, yes.
The stuff that we wrote up in ours were initially all things that we would do immediately or have the capability to do immediately without crews, without anything. And then we didn't get into the stuff because we figured after that initial response, everything else could be coordinated.
Yeah, I think initially leaving it up to the project's better judgment is the best thing to do, because there's no other plan to follow other than the FPP, and that's obviously not the right thing to do in
sure.
that scenario. So the project bio is going to have the best judgment on the situation yep. right off the bat.
And we've got all this stuff written out, and the control room has it, and they know. I mean, obviously, they're going to call me first, but we're going to go through this step by step and shut all this stuff off. I don't know about the intakes for everything on the dam, because that's going to get into some gray area, you know, or we're going to cut off cooling water. Then we can't run the units, and running the units is one of the options as opposed to spill, depending on what that oil spill looks like, you know, because they're a deeper draw.
Right. I think we need to focus on adult fishways.
We're focused on
yeah,
fishways.
Yeah, I've got all the fish covered, but I didn't know if you wanted every intake on
yeah,
the face
I,
of the
I,
dam.
Actually, you do want every intake, but you're right. You have to make a decision. But if you don't know where everything is, you can't make a really right. informed decision. Mm-hmm. From our world, the fish stuff is the most important.
Right.
But if you're trying to really stop as much oil at that dam period, because you don't want to impact the next dam down's fish stuff,
right.
You need to know where all those orifices are
but
to make those kind of calls.
We should first look at the bulk, where the bulk water is going. I mean, don't worry about the miscellaneous flows, because
you do eventually, but in our first cut, right now we have no, you know, we have that picture, and that's what we know.
Right.
So then we know there's more orifices you can't see and weight probably you can't see. And the guy coming in from the East Coast is going to go, hi. You know, he's not going to have a clue what the Dallas mm-hmm. Dam is or the bonnet.
What they can actually do.
The only
good thing about it is the guy that's going to respond for us is coming out of Portland, and he actually kind of does know a fair amount about the lower three projects anyway.
Yeah, if he's on a vacation on the East Coast, yeah.
You know. Either guy. I mean, there's
either
two guys, and it's one,
yeah.
one or the other. They always got it covered, and for us, until it gets below Bonneville, it's the same guy from EPA, and then it gets to be Coast Guard.
Good.
He's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, he is.
You usually have to be to get those jobs. But you need to give him, he needs the right information to make a good decision.
Sure.
That's the most important thing.
And that's all we're trying to do is provide him with the right tools. And Ben, once we get somebody done, we might be able to just run them by him if you know who he is and say, is this a tool you could use? And if not, how could I make it better for you?
Oh, yeah. No, he's really willing. He's come out here before, and, you know, we've talked about the various scenarios of whether we would want to pull it over to Powerhouse 1, 4 Bay, and
good.
try to hold it in one location. I mean, he's pretty willing to come out, and I think if we wanted to have him sit down again with us once we get this finalized, he'd be happy to.
Was he the guy at the meeting a year ago?
Yeah,
yep.
Richard Franklin.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right.
So what's our due? our due out, basically?
We got some more information to dig up. I'm not even sure where to look for this travel time information.
If you have trouble with that, let us know. Fish Passage Center.
Yeah, CSS.
That's their favorite stuff.
They
love
travel
time.
We can get you that. If you can't find it, holler. We can get it to you.
Okay.
Actually, Dave Bennett. He is Mr. Water Travel Time. Just
cool.
Email him and he'll give it to you.
All right.
But then you'll have to make a map from certain locations. It takes 6 hours from here, 10 hours from here.
Yeah.
Kind of give you a time horizon.
Yeah.
You put X where the wreck is, we can tell.
Yeah.
That's kind of map.
Depends on your river flow, too.
No, it does. You have a discharge, you have discharge, you have location,
okay.
And then you'll know how much your time.
Basically, you're like probably 5 mile away, 10 mile away,
yep.
40 miles
yep.
away to do that. And with at like 100, 200, 300, 400,
yep.
You can interpolate between the two, those ones, and you're done.
Yep.
Your team.
Give Dave something to do.
Yeah. I didn't think the water particle travel time really changed that much between locations.
It depends on the topography. I mean, it kind of does.
So, I mean, if you were in a canyon, it might,
because yeah.
it's really narrow, but when you're in the reservoirs, it seems like from top end to bottom, it's pretty constant. At least that's what I've always been told.
And if that's what we find, great. And then we'll know by mile, by river velocity, what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave's not going to have different depths. He's going to say a point 10 miles away at this flow is going to take X amount of time to get to here and that kind of stuff.
And it seems like everything's surface-oriented that I've or relatively
well,
similar.
It is, and that's what we're thinking is going to be a floating oil.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, it's going to
it
be
takes longer.
So you're going to have plus or minus, because if you have the wind blowing all up river, it's going to
yeah.
take a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
If the wind's blowing down,
down river,
it's going to be a little faster.
Bigger.
So you've got to just take an average water control time, say, if you have an oil spill 20 miles out, it's going to take 10 hours to get back, whatever the number is. And Dave can give you a table on that.
And if there's wind surfers out there soaking it up, that'll slow down.
You know, you can pay them. Water absorption,
we don't need
kites.
Okay.
So we'll try to draft some language for the FPP to figure out how to do this.
When do we want to reconvene?
I don't know if it's going to be a, it'll probably be just a simple one or two sentence thing.
Yeah. I just,
Project Bio can do what they want.
See, this is Bob, you're the chair officer. I think you submit this to Lisa and tell her to write some language.
Perfect.
There you go.
Okay, and then we'll get some out. And then, do we want it in this format, like with all the, with the map showing where everything is, and then have elevations
your,
and everything?
I think this is your first page, and then you have the writing after that, and then you have a page or so after this, and then you're done.
Okay.
And we'll take it from there. And then I think Scott had a great idea of like, this is our base. We take it to the executive commander guy that Ben was talking about. Takes a look at it and says, yeah, this is great. Like, oh, I, you know, what would help is if I had X this, this, and this.
Yeah. Okay.
And go from there. It's going to be a living document as it is. And then Trevor, you can tell us what the hell else we need to be doing since
you get a consultation.
Yeah,
on the following pages, you can have sectional information if you want more details.
Okay.
That's if you're going to be behind the page. Because most of these commanders, if they've got like 2 minutes to deal with something like a big picture with a couple things like that, that's what they're going to take it out.
All right.
What else do you need from us,
Bob? We'll do that.
You need a little star for
that. Is there a need for a meeting again, or should we just vet this at FPOM and be done?
Have another after FPOM meeting to see what we've got.
That's what I was thinking. Is like, and what are you thinking? How long is it going to take you guys? A couple months? You want November, December?
Yeah.
There's no October meeting, so
November.
There's not much going on then, so.
So 2 months, is that enough time for you guys to get us up, what do you think?
I think so, yeah.
It's as long as you get done before hunting season, I guess.
Yeah.
Or get your L quick.
I'm all backed out by then.
So next meeting in 2 months? Mm-hmm. Or you're just going to have your stuff done in 2 months?
I just think maybe just like have it done, and then after the FPOM meeting, we'll just go over it.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then maybe have Ben take it to the coordinator and see what he thinks. And
or have Ben contact and say, hey, we've got these plans. Do you have time to look at them?
Exactly. Yeah. And then take it to FPOM and then get more.
Say this is what we got back. Here's our final. This is our product.
It's not a big deal.
Do you have anything else, Ben?
What are the chances we could have this problem?
4 times higher train rate if they get that Vancouver facility.
Yep.
Four times as many trains.
We got to get it done.
Fortunately,
they're not going to do it.
No, we have to get our work done.
Yeah.
That'll go or not. We just dodged a bullet with the.
Yeah. Oh, even with the current system.
Yeah. It just gets worse.
Yeah. Right. Do you have anything else, Ben?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I think we're done.
All right.
See ya.
Thanks.
Good sorrow case.